All right. What? So we're approaching the 4th of July, America's Day of Independence and Freedom. And as I wondered what to say this Sunday, I realized no one ever said it better than Dr. Seuss and Yertle the Turtle. So, come with me to Auntie Ellen's Reading Corner. And as I read this, think of this in terms of Independence Day. On the faraway island of Salamisond, Yertle the Turtle was king of the pond. A nice little pond. It was clean, it was neat. The water was warm, there was plenty to eat. The turtles had everything turtles might need, and they were all happy, quite happy indeed. They were, until Yertle, the king of them all, decided the kingdom he ruled was too small. "I'm ruler," said Yertle, "of all that I see, but I don't see enough. That's the trouble with me. With this stone for a throne, I look down on my pond, but I cannot look down on the places beyond. This throne that I sit on is too low down. It ought to be higher," he said with a frown. "If I could sit high, how much greater I'd be. What a king! I'd be ruler of all I could see." So Yertle the Turtle King lifted his hand, and Yertle the Turtle King gave a command. He ordered 9 turtles to swim to his stone, and using these turtles, he built a new throne. He made each turtle stand on another one's back, and he piled them all up in a 9 turtle stack. And then Yertle climbed up. He sat down on the pile. What a wonderful view! He could see most a mile. "All mine," Yertle cried. "Oh, the things I now rule. I'm king of a cow, and I'm king of a mule. I'm king of a house, and what's more beyond that, I'm king of a blueberry bush and a cat. I'm Yertle the Turtle, oh, marvelous me, for I am the ruler of all that I see." And all through that morning, he sat there up high, saying over and over, "A great king am I." Until long about noon, then he heard a faint sigh. "What's that?" snapped the king. And he looked down the stack, and he saw at the bottom a turtle named Mac, just a part of his throne. And this plain little turtle looked up, and he said, "Beg your pardon, King Yertle. I've pains in my back and my shoulders and knees. How long must we stand here, Your Majesty, please?" "Silence," the king of the turtles barked back. "I'm king, and you're only a turtle named Mac. You stay in your place while I sit here and rule. I'm king of a cow and I'm king of a mule." Hang on. Uh-oh. Now the batteries are dead. That's it. Sherry, can you just click? I'll tell you when. Sorry. Knew I should have checked him. "Silence," the king of the turtles barked back. "I'm king, and you're only a turtle named Mac. You stay in your place while I sit here and rule. I'm king of a cow, and I'm king of a mule. I'm king of a house and a bush and a cat. But that isn't all. I'll do better than that. My throne shall be higher," his royal voice thundered. "So pile up more turtles. I want about 200. "Turtles, more turtles," he bellowed and brayed. And the turtles way down in the pond were afraid. They trembled, they shook, but they came, they obeyed. From all over the pond they came swimming by dozens, whole families of turtles with uncles and cousins, and all of them stepped on the head of poor Mac. One after another, they climbed up the stack. Then Yertle the Turtle was perched up so high he could see 40 miles from his throne in the sky. "Hooray," shouted Yertle. "I'm king of the trees, I'm king of the birds, and I'm king of the bees. I'm king of the butterflies, king of the air. Ah me, what a throne, what a wonderful chair. I'm Yertle the Turtle, oh marvelous me, for I am the ruler of all that I see." Then again, from below in the great heavy stack. No, you're ahead. Go back. See, now you spoiled the punchline. I'm so sorry. Go back. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I had this so well worked out. Nope, go back. Okay, one more. There. That's where he says, "O marvelous me, for I am the ruler of all that I see." Now, then again from below, that's it. In the great heavy stack came a groan from that plain little turtle named Mac. "Your Majesty, please, I don't like to complain, but down here below we are feeling great pain. I know up on top you are seeing great sights, but down at the bottom we too should have rights. We turtles can't stand it, our shells will all crack. Besides, we need food, we are starving," groaned Mac. Click now. "You hush up your mouth," howled the mighty King Yertle. "You've no right to talk to the world's highest turtle. I rule from the clouds, over land, over sea. There's nothing, no nothing that's higher than me." Click. But while he was shouting, he saw with surprise that the moon of the evening was starting to rise. Up over his head, in the darkening skies. "What's that?" snorted Yertle. "Say, what is that thing that dares to be higher than Yertle the king? I shall not allow it. I'll go higher still. I'll build my throne higher. I can and I will. I'll call some more turtles. I'll stack them to heaven. I'll need about 5,607. Don't click yet. All right. But as Yertle the Turtle King lifted his hand and started to order and give the command, that plain little turtle below in the stack, that plain little turtle whose name was just Mac, decided he'd taken enough, and he had. And that plain little lad got a little bit mad. And that plain little Mac did a plain little thing now. He burped, and his burp shook the throne of the king. Click again. And Yertle the turtle, the king of the trees, the king of the air and the birds and the bees, the king of a house and a cow and a mule, well, that was the end of the Turtle King's rule. For Yertle, the king of all Salamisand, fell off his high throne and fell plunk in the pond. Click. And today the great Yertle, that marvelous he, is king of the mud, that is all he can see. Click again. And the turtles, of course, all the turtles are free. As turtles and maybe all creatures should be. Okay. So you can see the tyranny and revolution in this story. And it was written that way on purpose. Theodore Geisel, who wrote as Dr. Seuss, said Yertle the king represented Hitler in his mind. Yertle's rule over the pond and beyond was Hitler's regime and his invasion of Europe. Seuss was not trying to write a story with a moral. He said, kids can see a moral coming a mile off. But he thought most stories have natural morals, and he was happy to write about issues. He described himself being subversive as hell. That's a quote. But by 1958, when this book was published, the most subversive thing about it was using the word burp. It was considered kind of a rude word. No one had ever burped before in a children's book. So the executives at Random House, including the president, had to have a big meeting to decide whether Dr. Seuss could use the word burp. They took a chance on it. I think he'd already made them a whole lot of money. Kids apparently had no objection. Yertle went on to sell more than 1 million copies. It's one of the best-selling children's books of all time. So here's your trivia lesson for today. Dr. Seuss's books are written in a poetic meter called anapestic tetrameter. Two short syllables and a long one. So, 'twas the night before Christmas and all through the house. He didn't write that, but it's a good example. And the turtles, of course, all the turtles are free. One, two, three. Well, you could waltz to this. The more you know. So Yertle the Turtle is ego run amok. He is self-will run riot, affecting everyone around him. Mac, the little turtle at the bottom, is vox populi. He's speaking for the people. He's Patrick Henry. Give me liberty. Sherry, click it one more time. Yeah, this is your visual aid while I talk. This is a setup for revolution. Now, elevating yourself to see farther is generally a good thing, but this is self-aggrandizement at the cost of others. So this story is about freedom and equality. And it raises a lot of uncomfortable questions for a society that prides itself on equal opportunity. Does somebody have to be in the mud for others to climb higher? Does someone have to sacrifice for others to have their good? We have a lot of fears about this in our society. A lot of arguments currently about who gets what and income inequality, and I'm not going to preach politics. Take a breath. This is about systems and human nature. Someone always has less than they think they should. Someone always has vastly more than others, whether you're talking about money, food, healthcare, education, freedom, opportunity, or who gets the car on Saturday night. Those on top are afraid they'll end up in the mud if everybody else gets what they want. Those in the mud are hurting and hungry and angry. Systemic inequality sparked the American Revolution. Our founding fathers were Mac, the little turtle at the bottom of the pile. He'd had enough. He had asked politely at first and then rebelled, and the power structure came tumbling down. They did the same thing. And we've seen it happen over and over in history and even in our lifetimes. Americans, maybe because of our history, tend to root for the little turtle at the bottom of the pile. You know, the students in Tiananmen Square, the Egyptians in 2011, the Arab Spring, unless you happen to be on top. Then you might call the little turtles protesters, insurgents, socialists, a danger to our way of life. I'm intrigued by Yertle's power over all the other turtles. We don't know how he came to be in charge. He couldn't have his way without their cooperation, but they just obey him without question. And when they don't, he punishes them with his anger. Do you know anyone like that? You want to say to them, who made you king? But if you protest, there is a terrible price to pay. These are usually people you don't want mad at you. Or, have you ever been the one issuing orders? Is there a part of you that wants to be? A part of you that believes you could see so much farther, just live better if only other people would comply with your wishes? And what about all these enablers in the middle? Between Mac and Yertle were all these turtles who blindly did what they were told, no matter what it cost them. They were propping up the king. This is a dysfunctional family system. It's a dysfunctional workplace. It's a dysfunctional country. Everyone's miserable except the ones on top. But the others, for some reason, feel obligated to go along to get along. Except sometimes someone is willing to speak up. And they're usually told, you hush up your mouth. You've no right to talk to the world's highest turtle. They're called disgruntled, malcontents, whiners, complainers. Have you ever tried to point out a flaw in a system and just been dismissed harshly? Or have you been plagued with these people who think they could run things better and complain about the job you're doing? Which character are you? If the story is a metaphor, you might identify with one or the other. Yertle or Mac, or see yourself as a turtle in the middle, a cog in the machine. But metaphysically, of course, they're all part of you, part of our consciousness, the egomaniac and the whistleblower. The king and the rebel and the obedient ones are all part of our consciousness. And I believe ultimately it's not a story about behavior as much as belief. These turtles believe only one can be on top. And for one to climb higher, the others must sacrifice. This is a commonly held view of the world. Life is a pie, and some get a bigger slice than others. But we know, in the great scheme of things, that's not true. We live in a universe of abundance. There's enough for everyone and more where that came from. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We can't always see the abundance from our muddy pond. We don't know how equality can work out. How can everyone be happy when they have conflicting desires? It's easy to slip into thinking there's not enough to go around and I've got to get mine. A great deal of dishonesty and violence has come from people trying to get theirs. So to make this story meaningful, you might check in with yourself if you're willing to be a little uncomfortable. Where might you be forcing others to lift you up at their expense? We probably all do it sometimes, in some ways. And I don't mean leaning on someone who loves you. Of course, we're interdependent. We support each other. I mean making demands and being oblivious to what it costs others. Where are you, Mac, the little turtle who asked for what he needed? Burping to bring down the turtle tower might be considered passive-aggressive, but he didn't pretend to be innocent. He did what it took to save himself and others. Where in your life are you in the middle, just blindly doing what's expected? Notice that's where the majority of turtles are. Grin and bear it, don't rock the boat, even when you're hurting and hungry. All the characters are part of us and probably come forward from time to time. So, what can you do about it? How can you shift your thinking so you can believe it doesn't have to be this way? Life is not a top-down, zero-sum game with winners and losers. Well, as it happens, I'm going to be talking about that all through July. It is time for our summer prosperity series. And Yertle is not only an Independence Day story, but a prosperity story. If Yertle, the Turtle King, had known he had access to all the good he could imagine, or if he were just grateful for what he already had, think how his life and all those around him would have been different. So starting next week, we'll talk about prosperity in the context of the five basic principles taught in Unity and learn to use spiritual laws to create the lives we want. You don't have to be trapped on the top or the bottom or in between. You can swim free in your own pond, and the universe is set up to support you. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. When we meditate, we simply relax, become comfortable, and you might close your eyes and turn within. We know that in every story we read or encounter, each character is a part of our consciousness. That's what makes stories meaningful and sometimes uncomfortable. That's what makes stories last. That's why so many stories exist in our human experience. What we're grateful to know is that we have a choice. As we look at all these parts of us that might want to come forward, we can choose how to be, how to show up. You can set an intention, not just for what you want to do, but for how you want to be. I intend to be joy today. I intend to express love today. I intend to be peace today. I am health. I am abundance today. What lies within you is no less than God. You have access to all the attributes of the divine. They are also part of you, hardwired, available for your use. Set an intention for which of the powers you want to use. Will, imagination, wisdom, zeal. Founding fathers of the United States set an intention to be free. And they held that vision through 7 years of war. Intention is powerful. Thoughts are creative. And we are so grateful for the awareness that we can choose what to create with our thoughts. And so it is. Amen.
Hallelujah.